some aspects look like we're really ready to play. A couple of other aspects look like we just got off Willie Nelson's tour bus.
People will come, Ray.
Maximizing our collective understanding.
Do you know who I am?
I am the one who knocks.
Get the phone out.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Hey, 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. I didn't expect this, but two-legged Wyatt, fully functional, or two-footed Wyatt, a fully functional fill-in producer, because Greg is Dave Ross, a fully functional vacation person, and Greg will be back Monday. But it's a Friday, so we'll treat it like a Friday. I didn't expect the positive reaction about the Miss Tilly's orifice story.
Yeah, I was not expecting that either. I thought that was genuinely quite surprising on my end.
Yeah, and that was sort of an add-on there at the end. The point was to get you to go and listen to the 10th break. You know, our new Tuesday Thursday standalone podcast, because we're coming up on the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and so as stories come up, or as fun facts you may not know come up, we put them there, and I tagged the show at the very end there yesterday with a very obscure, but I think thought-provoking, conversation-provoking story of a engineering mechanical fix that a female engineer in Britain came up with that was so significant that the pilots gave her a very special nickname. In to reflect what the fuel restrictor was. So now I'm being very obtuse around things. So, and I also highly recommend that you listen to the show. If you are not listening live, then what's the point of telling me this, Brian? Well, just so that you can know that you can text APP to 800-465-8770, and you can listen to the, I got to say, the Radio Hall of Fame guy is getting kind of rude. He has his own card key now. He comes in and he just says, "Where's the SD card?" And he just ripped it out. But anyway,
nerve of him.
It's being FedExed to the Radio Hall of Fame as we speak. But I do have to put a bow on something. The first foreigner, I should say, the first non-Japanese to ever win the title of Grand Master, whatever it is, the MVP of the sumo world, born Chad Rowan in Honolulu, Hawaii, but he wrestled as Aki Bono. He is dead of a shocker. Heart-related incident at the age of 54, taken too early. But boy, I got to say, if you want to be on a fast track to hardening of the arteries, do what they do. And so the thing I played was an MMA introduction because... And here he is.
190 kilo. Aki Bono!
He'll be called Taro Akebono here in the U.S., but in Japan, he was Akebono Taro. And he did a thing. He did an MMA fight with an American fighter, Bob Sapp. And I know how people are in that community, and it's like, bro, sumo would totally destroy a MMA guy or whatever. I would say ask Conor McGregor about that. Because the MMA guy can punch, okay? The sumo guy can't punch. That's like having Conor McGregor, but not kick. Let's do Marcus de Queensbury rules against, what's his name? Lloyd Mayweather.
Yes, Floyd Mayweather.
And Floyd Mayweather beat his butt. You know, when he contacted Conor McGregor in the face, that's a world champion boxer, and you don't get to kick me in the package. You just have to turtle up and take my punches. Okay, well, that's what the sumo wrestler guy did. And he trimmed down from 462 down to 410. So, you know, a real dancer there in the ring. Well, the MMA guy killed him. I mean, not killed him, but I mean, just pounded him in the head, which only happens accidentally in sumo. And so if you want to have that bar bet, just listen to the crowd when the scores are added up. So the referee there in the middle of the ring, Bob Sapp on the left, Aki Bono on the right. Who won? Just you can tell by the crowd. You don't have to speak the Japanese to figure out who's about to win.
Sapp. Judge Wakabayashi, 20-18.
青コーナーサップジャッジ応援20対18青コーナーサップ以上判定3対0で勝者青コーナーボブ
When the music is louder than the crowd, you know that the sumo guy didn't win, okay? So, spoiler, the black MMA American, Bob Sapp, pounded your world champion sumo dude. But it's an apples and oranges sort of a thing. But because people were texting, not as much as that was a great story at the end of the show yesterday. More of that, please. Well, the answer there, no. So it's on again last night. If you were wondering why 525, the road that gets you to the Mukilteo ferry dock was closed around 5 p.m., inconveniencing a lot of people, it's because someone decided to have their Friday in Somers County Jail and take someone's life. So this is... I don't know why, but Somers County has been in this headline now for the last couple weeks.
Parkway, you can see just so many cars there backed up. Right now we know there's one confirmed fatality. The Somers County Sheriff's Office says that they were chasing a vehicle believed to have an adult kidnapping victim inside the car. The car then drove onto State Route 525 going the wrong direction, which is why it's closed right now both ways. And that's when the Sheriff's Office says deputies stopped the pursuit. That car then crashed into what looks like the median on State Route 525.
So you heard they stopped the pursuit, and you know that doesn't mean they were about to catch him. It means the criteria for peeling off because the guy was so you get it right. Hey criminals, or hey dirtbags who maybe dabble in DV like this guy did and kidnapping your victim. So the word is out amongst the commit crimes cohort that if you drive crazy early on, they won't pursue you. So is that cutting down vehicle deaths or not? I mean, now you have one up there in Alderwood because the guy was cosplaying a crazy driver.
Crashed into what looks like the median on State Route 525. Northbound lanes are being diverted here to where we are now. This is
And so now you have one dead because a guy who I mean... I know that pro or anti-pursuit people are going to say, well, he was only driving like that because they were pursuing him. Well, they peeled off the pursuit. And these guys all know to do that until they peel off the pursuit. When the pursuit is peeled off, then they're free and clear. And he still found a way to kill his passenger or an oncoming car because he's going the wrong way on 525. He's driving up towards 99. Come on, has everybody been on the Mukilteo ferry? Am I assuming too much? Is that between the Leroy Jenkins and all that two-footed wide? Does everyone know that exit off I-5 onto the Mukilteo Speedway?
I don't specifically, but I'm not surprised if other people do.
Yeah, it's a real acquired taste. If you don't watch yourself, boom, you're heading to Woodinville or Mill Creek. If you do watch yourself and you get on it, then you make the ferry and then you are on Whidbey Island and stuff. Not the time for my tangent. It's a good tangent. Everyone has to admit I'm growing as a human being if I can stop my own tangents on that one. But it's a good one. It's a good one about look at that. We're in it. The niece is a freshman at Gonzaga. Her review of American young men is not good. She comes from Cape Town. Her entire teenage years in Cape Town, South Africa. And in South Africa, they don't call boys toxic. They just call them hyperactive. And it leads to a far different academic experience than perhaps your kid is having today at your school. And now her brother, my nephew, is about to go to Texas A&M. Because he wants to be an Army officer and all this. This is something that he's noticed, too. And I was at, because a friend of my kid is a 100-meter sprinter. I went to a track meet yesterday. And, man, I got to say, here's my observation. Because the kids these days, representing their high schools, those include Central Kitsap and Peninsula, were at a track meet yesterday. And if you think that the kids are being indoctrinated into DEI and not bullying language and all that, and then it's taking, it's the opposite. What did you do when you were told, whatever you do, don't look in that envelope because there's a word you should never even know in that envelope? What did you do when you were 16? Yeah, you tore it open. You saw the word. And so guess what? If you're getting death by PowerPointed all about, you know, hate words or aggression words and all that, you use them. And I heard all the language from the athletes that were in the stands between events that are supposed to be the woke generation. I heard the opposite. And if you're a wokey, if you're a woke ranger and you're out there teaching this stuff, I got bad news for you. It didn't work. It didn't take and stuff. Another research project that I did, and that, you know what? It'll be thing one for know-it-all.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know-it-all. First thing,
remember this kid yesterday?
Can somebody explain to me in crayon-eating terms why I make over 3 times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live? And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys!
Just get to the numbers.
A one-bedroom apartment, $1,800. Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200.
Well, you're not going to be needing that second bedroom, buddy. So I says to myself, I says, Brian, it's 1:45. You're about to drive an hour and a half to get to your place of employment. And what if you did not go through 3 tanks of Biden gas per week to get to work and back? And this is an exercise I did 2 years ago, and I was shocked, and I looked around, found my job, put it back on 2 years ago, and I went on Zillow again this morning, and I my bar is, okay, what's the shortest walk to work? What if I was that dork that just walked to work or took an electric scooter because it's totally sustainable or whatever? And the answer is that I don't want to say the address. It's not like people can't figure it out, but, you know, right next door, right across the street. Not the building with the 1938 Olympic Husky crew guys. That's the assisted living thing. I'm not there yet, but I went and looked for what he said, but not bedroom. I said, okay, how about studio? How about a studio on East Lake? Obviously, I'd have to eat my dogs, and I'm not asking for a view. Couldn't care less, because your view is more expensive condos on the Lake Union side. And, okay, with all due respect to the guy making 3 times the federal minimum wage or whatever, the cheapest one here in Seattle, because people like him are not going to be here, because it was a studio with a Murphy bed, you know, the ones that fold up into the wall, a stove, a fridge and freezer, collective laundry down in the basement, as most apartments do, about 860 square feet. And actually, if you just look down, I'm parked there. There's I did the 360 tour, and I'm caught. I'm in the parking spot. So anyway, as third floor. So as described by me, what 2-footed Wyatt? What do you think?
As far as the cost of that,
yeah,
I would say roughly, I'll go $1,200 a month.
Seattle, Washington. So wait, I haven't seen the backstory on this guy. I don't know where he lives. So
bedroom apartment, $1,800.
Okay, well, I beat you, buddy, in Seattle, $1,900.
Oh,
that's $700 over 2-footed Wyatt.
I'm really lowballing it there.
And here's the thing, I am paying for view. I'm like, if you're down to that in your living in studio, check the no view. I mean, you know, scale your life. This is that a eat enough, an edible crayon enough for you, buddy? So I don't know what town he wants to live, but I can justify by saying, well, yeah, but I'm going to save $400 a week times 4 weeks per month. And that nearly covers the rent. So I'm spending that rent in just to get here to work so I can earn money to spend that in rent. It doesn't justify doing it, though. It's just a dumb financial decision, so you adjust. And then I really, I got to say, you can't really put a price on happiness or quality of life. I live where I can afford and also that has my quality of life. And I'm currently mowing wiffle ball diamond in my lawn. That's I like that. I mean, I'm in a pretty good place in life where my dogs are happy. My kid is happy. My neighbors are amazingly trustworthy. I mean, even the ones that don't ride a horse to the local horse church that has a hitching post. And they're all trustworthy. And so it is worth driving back there. So I did that calculation. There's no magic wheel for that. But there's that guy. I don't think he's local on that one. So because in my county, let's get to my county. We didn't start at the beginning. This happened at a open mic, Thurston County Citizens. I don't know what the rules are for open mics. Mine would be, just don't do it.
Tensions were high as the conversation brought up raw and pent-up feelings. Manny Ellis's death is something the community says they will never forget. Some went as far as calling for Sheriff Sanders to resign. Others are asking him to be more transparent about who is going to be policing their neighborhood.
Okay, big, big sin. The newly elected sheriff, Derek Sanders of Thurston County, hired one of the Tacoma police that were involved in the Manny Ellis death. By involved, I mean they didn't. They were exonerated and the whole thing. So he is a cop. That's a significant investment. He made a financial decision, and I stand by that decision. And then standing by his own decision would have been a big feather in his cap for his other deputies and not demoralize them, But I sure wouldn't drive down I-5 from Tacoma and tell another county to spend money from the ground up or get a lateral guy. I don't know. It's frustrating to me. And that's thing 1.5. Thing 2.
Second thing.
Second thing is the Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs signed some executive order from to tell her state county prosecutors, her state attorney general and state county prosecutors not to prosecute anyone for abortion from that. Now that 1864 law is in 60 days, and she didn't mention this, that it's not going to default to that. This legislature there has 60 days to come up with something better. But they keep saying that 1864 law. So what did she rely on? The 1863 law that mandated that the governor of the territory of Arizona could issue such an executive order. So there you go. Thing 4.
Fourth thing.
So fourth thing. Oh, don't worry. Shohei Ohtani's translator found that one bookie that will tolerate you owing him $24 million. Because of your losses. So according to the federal government, you defrauded him of $16 million because he's so rich he doesn't notice. But you know who doesn't notice when money is gone? Bookies.
According to the criminal complaint, from December 2021 until January 2024, Miss Uhara placed 19,000 bets, averaging 25 a day with an illegal bookmaker. The wagers, which were never made on baseball, ranged from $10 to $160,000, with Ipe racking up more than $40 million in losses.
Are you sure that's all he said?
But occasionally...
And this is the U.S. attorney.
He would win. That money.
So the point he's making is, he lost a lot by lot. I mean, 40 million.
But occasionally he would win. That money did not go to any account owned by Mr. Ohtani. That money would go to an account that was personally.
Ah, okay. So anyway, so it turns out that habitual gamblers find ways to hide where it came from and the whole thing. So this guy was the Jeffrey Epstein of money for the Angels and maybe the Dodgers. And this entire thing might lead Major League Baseball to have to be more adult about gambling and its place in the future for the team that's going to land in Oakland if they can unstick from Sacramento. And so no one wants to have these conversations. And so I don't know. My take on this is, you know, keep in mind, Major League Baseball's motive is to shut it up and maintain this squeaky clean image. Sorry about those uniform pictures earlier this season. And what are you doing even looking there? Okay, so that, but they're not in charge of who gets indicted. So now Ohtani's translator is facing significant blue-collar jail time in an American prison. It's not county. Okay, don't worry. It's not L.A. County or King County. But it's a federal prison. He can cut time off his sentence if he makes a deal. Does he sound like he is the kind of guy that needs a deal? Yeah. Does he sound like the kind of guy that makes a deal?
According to the criminal complaint from December 2020.
I don't know. This doesn't put anything away or put anything to bed for me. It sounds to me like when they get to the what do you got for me? When they get to the part where Al Pacino yells, give me all you got, he's going to give you all you got. Because he's like the squealer in the Batman. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. The single most successful new wave hit in the 80s, Blue Monday.
It sounds like it.
By New Order.
I can bop my head to this probably for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's a great song. It was always in clubs and stuff, if you went to those. And if this came on, it was like a whatever. So news you're not going to hear about in the United States. Here's one. Where is it? I didn't know this, but I saluted Biden urged to ban China-made electric vehicles. So they're not going to meet our safety standards anyway. President Joe Biden has been urged to ban imports of Chinese-made electric cars to the U.S. Now, the squad, all of the people who think that you should be ignoring market forces, like such as, you know, demand or do I need this, and be forced into EVs are going to fight this. But the chair of the Senate Banking Committee, Senator Sherrod Brown, wrote, Chinese electric vehicles are an existential threat to the American auto industry, and they will not be making them here with Americans. They'll be importing them from China. So if you read the silly Inflation Reduction Act, the tax incentives are for American-made lithium batteries or American-sourced lithium batteries, and not for a top-to-bottom Chinese-made lithium battery from a Chinese lithium mine in Ghana or Krapistan or China. That is supposed to not even be imported. But anyway, Brown's comments are the strongest yet by any U.S. lawmaker. And by the way, he speaks for the United Auto Workers because right now with the legacy American Big Three shutting down EV assembly lines because, again, the president's threat to deploy a secret EV police and force you to buy an EV or test drive one, they have not been deployed fully yet. Because that's the only way that you can create demand for this technology, putting a gun to someone's head, because they aren't practical. The infrastructure, the range and the whole thing I don't need my car. When I fill up the car, it says 497 miles. Sometimes if I really burn it down and I know I've got a gallon and a half, when it says E, it doesn't mean E, but I don't want to be that guy to a fuel injection car. So when I fill it up, I've got 500 miles. Swag that, right? Well, I don't, if I get to range 99, I have less options. You put in, you top off an EV and you don't have the option to make it to Spokane or Portland without using the bathroom or whatever, or just having, you don't need a reason. You just feel anxious and no one. And also, by the way, imagine if your gas tank shrunk over 5 years. The capacity of, or the battery's ability to take a full charge, like the day you test drove it or drove it off the Chinese lot, is going to be different. It's going to be less. They just do. And I know they're not NiCads. They are lithium-ion batteries, but they lose capacity. We cannot allow China to bring its government-backed cheating to the American auto industry, Senator Brown said in a video on the social media platform Twitter, formerly Twitter. Senator Brown, who is a Democrat, so Biden speaks to a Democrat. And for instance, the language he's speaking today is deploy the Kamala. She's going to Arizona today. And why? Well, because she's outraged, because she's had it up to here with untrammeled illegal immigration. Yeah, no. It's because the governor, Katie Hobbs of Arizona, signed an emergency order to order her AG not to prosecute abortion. Total kabuki, total performance. And Kamala's going to go out there on Grievance One. I think they've deployed Grievance One, which is a 757. That's the V-POTUS Air Force One. So Grievance One is heading out there today because they are loving this. They're weaponizing it as they can because the contributions, as I told you 2 days ago, this is all about driving the contributions. And the contributions is, this is like Alito 2, when that clerk leaked the Alito memo, which was the decision, the Dobbs decision, their contributions went through the roof. And everybody in politics who drives this stuff are greedy whores. And so now they found a replay. They found the Fumble Ruski 2 on this one. And so they're going to take, speaking of Fumble Ruski, they're going to take Kamala Harris and put her out in front of a mic before the close of the news cycle today so that they can react to it all weekend long. And again, this is also how they operate. When an American college student posts messages threatening to bring an assault rifle and kill Jewish pigs, that's a threat. And so the chap was arrested. And also not only that, but if you're at a privileged Ivy League university and you're doing that, you got in and then you do that, you might, as an institution, yesterday we had the head of the dean of the Berkeley Law School having to remove Berkeley Law graduates from his private property because they didn't understand that they couldn't, when the owner told them they were trespassing, they argued with him. So anyway, dig if you will this picture. When MSNBC reports this, it's because it's news and they can't deny to the White House that it has to be reported. The White House hates that anything to do with an elite university, any violent threats towards Jewish students, don't report that. It's happening. Don't report that. People are crossing the river into Texas. Don't report it. Anyway, so it is with, they buried this later, way late in an hour when they know that people are going to work on the East Coast.
On Wednesday, 21-year-old Patrick Day admitted to writing the messages that sparked security concerns on campus in October. In one post in a student forum, he threatened to, quote, bring an assault rifle to campus and shoot all you pig Jews.
Well, I said Jew pigs. It's pig Jews.
He faces up to 5 years in prison.
So, I mean, do you hear Joe Scarborough, former Republican? He's depressed in having to read the news.
On Wednesday, 21-year-old Patrick Day admitted.
Because they know, they all agreed, from Karine Jean-Pierre, former MSNBC employee, to Joe Biden, who Scarborough speakerphones with every morning. This is killing them. That's why they're throwing Israel under the bus. But yesterday they had to come out and say the words that we still stand with Israel. And they get so much hate mail for saying that out loud, when it should be obvious that that whatever, politically you can have a problem with Netanyahu or whatever, but the United States is not going to throw Israel under the bus for donations, unless the donations are really outstanding, which they will be. So anyway, that is what happened yesterday. And then this morning, he's reading it like it's the news or something, which it actually is. All right, more news you're not going to hear. And I'm sorry about the flood on the fire hose on this, but another Biden foreign policy win. Russians, this is from the BBC, not an American source. Russians arrive in Niger as military accord starts. Okay, folks, we have a base, not so secret, called Base 201 in the middle of Niger. We made it. we made it for $100 million. It's primarily for drones to operate out of because the drones that we were operating over Niger were originating in Djibouti. So that's like operating a drone over Seattle that originated in Minot, North Dakota. I mean, literally geographically like that. So 3 hours getting there cuts down your loiter time to 5 hours, then 3 hours so that you get the drone back to Djibouti. So we had a cooperative government in Niger, and we said, our dime, we will make you a world-class military base. We will fly in the gear, the C-17s. So $100 million base, the keys to the front door now handed to Russia because Niger, the Nigerian, not Nigerian, but the Niger government didn't meet our DEI standards or something. They booted us out. They said, take your little C-17, put all your little clean Western butts on it, fly out because we're now in bed with Russia. So, I mean, sorry, but sometimes you have to deal with unsavory people. Sometimes it's a coup. Sometimes you have to look the other way and let some guy write a tell-all book. But we just lost a strategic asset. We lost a bunch, actually. But that was today's. And so that's another Biden foreign policy win because he's so nuanced. Back in the second, AM 770 KTTH. KTTH, Brian Suits here, and in other NATO news, news you're not hearing in America is the French on Twitter today, formerly Twitter, were triumphantly announcing that the French aircraft carrier, the Charles de Gaulle, is for the first time ever under the NATO control.
NATO.
And so the irony of a ship named after the guy who kicked the NATO headquarters out of France in 1964 is apparently lost on les French, who lack a word for irony, by the way, unless it's in a light cream sauce. All right, so I've got good news and bad news on this. First, the bad news, kids. Bad man on a flight from San Diego to Seattle has pled guilty to groping a woman. Yeah! I know, that's bad. Don't grope women on airplanes or any, really, kids, don't grope women anywhere. I mean, physically, location or bodily. So anyway, Washington State man pleaded guilty on Thursday to groping a woman during an Alaska Airlines flight from San Diego to Seattle last year. 25-year-old Desmond Bostic from apparently the Burien area. Do you know, he sounds like a jerk, doesn't he?
Yeah, just anyone with that kind of name from the Burien area.
Hey, kids, Desmond Bostic. Exactly. okay, so here's the good news. The manufacturer of the airplane, well, let me get to this. While seated in the last row of the plane during the flight on June 20th of last year, Desmond Bostic, come on, Desmond Bostic, repeatedly touched the thigh of a woman in the middle seat next to him in the Me Too seat. He also grabbed her buttocks twice when she stood up to let a passenger in the window seat exit and re-enter the row. So that's assault. After the plane landed, the woman reported his actions to the flight crew, and law enforcement began investigating Bostic. By that time, had left the airport, and prosecutors said his location was unknown, but he turned himself in. A federal grand jury returned an indictment in the case last September. Bostic was located and arrested. I hope they fast roped down with MP5s and everything right in his face. February 9th, this happened. Bostic admitted as part of the plea agreement that he touched the woman with sexual motivation. And everybody knows that is totally the baller move. That's like pulling up in a Lamborghini or something at your prom. And I'm mocking, by the way. But anyway, kids, here's the good news. The manufacturer of the aircraft, a Boeing 737, was in no way, shape, or form connected or responsible for the bad man.
Yeah!
So there you go. Good news, Boeing. You're not responsible for the passengers grabbing A. And that's where I draw the line, is saying A for that. So because it's a commercial, and I'm like, well, let's take a look at this Desmond Bostic. So Brian goes on LinkedIn. I don't know why, but I did an image search for Desmond Bostic, and I needed more than a name because a whole bunch of Desmond Bosticks came up, but they're not all the Desmond Bostic. The one that came up is a business development manager for Gordon Food Service in Houston, Texas. And great, this is Greater Houston. And his last post was a Jesus post from 1 week ago. He is risen. Now I'm not saying that the diddler, Desmond Bostic, wouldn't post that. I'm just saying I don't think this is the guy, because he was identified as a Burien resident. This guy's not 25 at all. But I'll tell you what, because I have an amazing spidey sense, if this guy got on my plane, I would tell the people next to him, watch it. He looks like a bunt grabber. Or I'd tell the flight attendant. They would alert federal authorities because, yeah, this guy needs his face punched. But he's done nothing to me. He's no offense to me, and there's no indication that this is the same Desmond Bostic. But if you know the guy, then he pled guilty. He copped it. Oh, you know, he's already cost us enough money. So I was also, speaking of Major League Baseball melting down, but trying to hide the fact that their athletes bet and bet on baseball. So this made me sit up and take notice. I didn't read it in the indictment yesterday of the translator who 1,000% totally fully defrauded me, and I never knew that he was gambling with my $16 million, nor that he owed $40 million to a bookie. But I didn't read the texts between the translator, Ipe, and the bookie. So how'd those go? What would we learn if we read the
courageous
text?
Courageous young man. Thank you for bringing that to us, Antonia Hilton.
Very sad.
Turning now to what has been a wild weather week, and it is not letting up. Millions remain in the line of severe storm.
How about start with turning the computer off? Bottom line, the text that was played. Oh, I see what I did. Let's get to the text.
Trusted has done this.
Text messages obtained by prosecutors show Mizuhara messaging with a bookie 3 weeks ago, right after the story first broke.
Wait. Okay. So this is the new translator is Will the Thrill, known to Dodgers Nation pretty well. And his Japanese is not native or colloquial, but it's good enough. At this point, you want good enough.
That he was duped by his friend.
I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I'm trusted has done this.
Text messages obtained by prosecutors show Mizuhara messaging with a bookie 3 weeks ago, right after the story first broke. Referring to Ohtani, the bookmaker says, obviously you didn't steal from him.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah, totally not.
Wait. No. Yeah, if you could do that in a return text, like, well, what are you saying? Well, I never said that. Why are you saying that on text with my recent knowledge that I'm probably being tapped by the federal government?
To which Mizuhara responds, technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me.
Oh, geez. I mean, I got to say, this is not the same Department of Justice. If they have that alone, I'm saying that doesn't sound like you're defrauding your lifelong friend or whatever.
Mizuhara messaging with a bookie 3 weeks ago, right after the story first broke. Referring to Ohtani, the bookmaker says, obviously you didn't steal from him. To which Mizuhara responds, technically I did steal from him. It's all over for me.
LOL. Oh, well, get me that $40 million that you owe me. Get me that whenever you can at your convenience, because I'm one of those illegal bookies in California that can just absorb a $40 million loss, you know, like Aaron Judge or something. But I mean, that's who do you think I am, Ohtani? But I don't know. I'm sorry. I that looks like a smoking gun to me. The bookie knows the guy. He knows where the guy is. The guy owes him $40 million. He makes 90,000, and he's on the Dodgers payroll. He's never going to pay you that. And he's chasing good money after bad, which is how you make a living. That's why you're an illegal bookie in Orange County. And so anyway, obvi. I want to see the text that preceded that. Hey, closing my account. I'm not making any more betting. I'm totally cured from betting now. I called that number on the lottery commercial. If you have problem gambling, call. All my money's going to Powerball from now on. If you don't win, they don't come knocking on your door, kicking the door down like some say bookies do. But don't you worry. But anyway, all right, not our problem, not a Mariner problem, not a baseball problem. So there's that. All right, well, hour number three as we close out the week in strong fashion. I'm smelling the finish line. I'm not gonna stagger over the finish line. This is gonna be a great hour. We've got local stuff. We're gonna update some local news. And the Brits, the UK is going to deploy a laser to fight Houthi drones. And is there a guy? Is there a serial homeless runner over? A guy running over homeless tents? Is that a thing? I haven't even heard about it. Back with number three, after the same 770 KTTH.